We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Border War Podcast here on the Kansas City Sports Network. We are presented by M-Prize Bank. My name is Jared Sutton, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff Hawkins. Jeff, welcome in. I know your season has concluded, so you're all into the college basketball scene here as we get as we start the last week, or are we right in the middle of the week, by the last week of the regular season here in Big 12 play. How's it going, man?
Doing great. And, you know, it's one game. You know, most teams have about one game left in conference play before they hit their tournament. So it's that crazy time for, you know, even high school basketball. Crazy games going on, upsets. So that's always the fun part of this time, because you normally see teams playing at their peak. Even when teams might not have been doing great during the season, sometimes they can still find a way and upset some teams. So this is a definitely fun time to be a part of basketball. One game left for a lot of these teams are still in conference play.
We got a lot to get to with Kansas. Last time we left you guys, it was right before the Texas game that Kansas played at home, beating Texas handily, 86-67. And then the next two games, two losses for Kansas. I want to start with the BYU game at home, and as we kind of work our way into previewing the big matchup coming up with Houston here over the weekend. But first with BYU, you know, a game that just, I think, got away from Kansas. I had a chance to be at Allen Fieldhouse for that one, and really kind of my takeaway was it felt like Kansas was in control for much of that game. And then you look up and it's like, wait a second, BYU is in this game? You know, it's kind of one of those like, how are they still in this game? And then, you know, give them credit, they made some big plays down the stretch and made shots. And I think Kansas probably kicked themselves a little bit of just not finishing cribbers at the rim, little bunnies at the rim that they missed. Missed free throws were a big part of that game. And then I give BYU credit of just how they shot the ball, how they passed, a fearlessness to them in Allen Fieldhouse. And, you know, really a game that it went in and just kind of took it from Kansas. Not something you see every day. Was first off Kansas losing at home, but then to just kind of how that game played out was just kind of a game that got away from Kansas and BYU made some plays.
Yeah, and I think Coach Self's, you know, really big on type of moments, like, you know, when you have a team down, and, you know, if you really think in early part of the game, it looked like KU could stretch away from it, and BYU, they always just kind of stayed pretty close, not letting that lead get out. And then in the second half, KU kind of jumped out on them. And, you know, Coach Self is really big on, you know, they had that 10-point lead, you know, with about 14 minutes left. And, you know, that's when that lead started to dwindle. And I think they let off the gas. And I think Coach Self's really big on, you know, when you're in those situations like that, when you got a team down, especially if you're at home, you know, you got to – he uses this this term, you have to keep your foot on their throat. And I think they let it off a little bit. They got a little bit laxed, and BYU, credit to them. You know, they came in, you know, got a win. They don't know what it feels like to come into this field house and, you know, all these losses that so many teams have compiled in that place. And, you know, they come and they don't know any better. And I think that fearlessness that you talked about, you know, they came in with that fearlessness and togetherness, I think that's what helped propel them. And, you know, those free throws down the stretch, I think that really hurt KU down the stretch as well, too, giving up that lead. But even they, you know, they gave up that lead. You know, it was kind of a back and forth game. But again, when it comes down to those free throws down the stretch, that can give any team an edge if you're not hitting those, especially from guys that you normally know can make those.
Yeah, and you look at, Kansas dominated the paint, and that was really kind of what I thought would just be the deciding factor. I just didn't think BYU were going to be able to match Hunter and KJ. And then you look at bench points, BYU was plus 20 in bench scoring, and then the three-point shooting was really the game. You know, 13 of 34 BYU from three, Kansas was 3 of 15. And again, no Kevin McCullough in this game, too, which is a big factor in this. I think BYU is a tough matchup. I wouldn't want to play BYU in the tournament just because of like how they play. It's a very like five out offense. Their bigs can pass. You know, you don't want to judge a book by its cover with them. Like they just got a bunch of older guys that know how to play and play in a system, and you know, it's like a machine. And look, they were pretty bad against Kansas State, and I think that's one of the teams that makes a team dangerous in March. Is they can be bad. They can have games where you're like, oh, that team's, you know, might not be that good. And then they have games where you're thinking, man, they could, if they shoot the ball like that, they're going to be in every game. So that's just kind of the dangers of, I think, what the BYU team is. And I just think Kansas, the struggles from three, no Kevin, missed free throws. That was really the tale of the game.
You know, it's always that saying, live by the three, die by the three. Sometimes you can keep living by, you just never know when it's going to work for you. But again, BYU hitting 13 threes. They shot 34. Geez, I wish I could play on that team shooting 34. but, you know, they have seven guys shooting threes. I mean, every starter shoots threes. And, you know, when they sub in, you know, guys are stretching the floor. So you always it's always tough to play those teams where, you know, you got to make sure your inner stance, your rotations are good. You got good on-ball D. Like, you can't slip up, because if they get a paint touch and they're moving the ball and they're ready to shoot, they're going to let it fly. Those are those teams that are like you said, those matchup problems, especially when they're hitting. So, you just got to expect a team that's going to shoot 34 threes, that if, you know, even they hit, you know, 30% of those, they hit 35% of those, that's still a good margin of threes that can still at any point in the time of a game change momentum.
Yeah. You look at BYU's defense in that game too. I thought it was probably frustrating for guys like Hunter and KJ, even Johnny Furphy a little bit. Like, BYU's really connected on defense. They're very undersized, but they do a great job of helping each other. Like, it's a very interconnected defense. They obviously have, you know, they have some limitations for sure, but they're very connected. And that was something that really kind of struck me in the Kansas game, was like, KU shot 39% from the field. And, you know, they got there. Kansas got theirs. They're going to get theirs against a team like BYU, just the size. And it's just kind of a different, you know, matchup for BYU too. But I thought just that, especially in the second half, I thought their defense was really solid. I mean, that second half, BYU scored 47 points. So yeah, the shooting was there, and their offense was humming. They were getting out in transition. They were taking big shots. Their offensive actions were really good in like rescreening and weaves. And I think Kansas got lost a few times in that. But I also think, I mean, they did a nice job just withstanding defensively, only giving up 33 to KU in the second half. And obviously Kansas did miss some shots, but BYU is probably the best game, you know, they played, and they were ready for that moment in the second half and ultimately able to get that win. I do want to kind of, you know, change gears and talk about the Baylor game before we go to break, and before we, Matt, you know, get through with our matchup with Houston coming up for Kansas. That'll be a good one. Everybody's looking forward to. But the Baylor game, kind of a unique game just to watch. I watched that entire game. At first half, super competitive. Kevin's back. You know, he's in the lineup and looked pretty good in that first half. Hunter was great. You look at DeJuan, 9 assists, 3 steals, 2 turnovers. Really, I just thought the game in the second half just got away from Kansas late, and Baylor, give them credit. They made some plays. They had 4 guys in double figures. Kansas had, you know, really 2. DeJuan had 12, so 3 in double figures, but 17 for Yves Missy, 18 from Jaden Dunn, 19 from Ray J. Dennis. And then Jalen Bridges hit a couple big shots late in that game. So it just felt like Baylor just had a little bit more punch there towards the end. And the game ends up being an 8-point Baylor win. But I thought it was just close all the way through. Kansas made a good run there in that final few minutes to try to cut it to a one-possession game, but just kind of ran out of firepower there.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned it, you know, Baylor, it was, you know, pretty much, you know, came to a, you know, your starting five versus my starting five wasn't really much bench scoring, and we all know kind of that's been the woo of KU. But it was an equal match when you come to that bench matchup. It was just kind of a tell-a-tale, you know, whose stars got to play the best. And, you know, KU, they fought. You know, that first half, like you said, it was really tight. Slipped away, you know, about 12 minutes in the game. That's when it started slipping away. And again, you know, one could say, hey, is it McCullough trying to still get a feel for things? I thought, you know, Johnny Furphy only played 24 minutes, only 24 minutes. There's a lot of guys to say I would love only 24 minutes. And again, I thought that, you know, he would be able to get going a little bit more. He was only 1 for 5 from the field. I think that kind of helped. And, you know, KJ was not as active as well, too. You know, due to, you know, having a little foul trouble as well, too. So, you know, that can do some things when you have to, you know, get deep in that bench and play some other guys. But, you know, they let it slip away from them. And I think it was just, you know, your five versus five, you know, my five going at it. And it was just some possessions that, you know, allowed them to a Baylor to just kind of get that edge and push forward. But KU fought as much as they could. And it was just kind of one of those games to where, you know, sometimes the ball bounces a little bit for you and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, just Johnny Furphy's been a huge, huge piece to this Kansas team, and he's going to have to be a good piece, you know, moving forward into the postseason. I still think he's such an important player to this overall group. Like, Kevin is important, Hunter's important, DeJuan. But I think Johnny, like, he has a skill set that sometimes I think he could be a little bit more aggressive with. He's a great athlete. Like, the BYU game kind of jumped out to me, his speed in the open floor. What I love about him is he's not going to force, and like, he's going to play within the structure of the offense. He doesn't need the ball. You know, him and Kevin, pretty good cutters too. I think Johnny's pretty good off screens. You know, the shot, I think that sometimes can get a little bit, not streaky, but it feels like he kind of, if he misses a few, you know, he's going to let off the gas a little bit, looking for that shot. I would like him to be more aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, when I look at a box score and he shot the ball 2 or 3 times, I get he's a freshman. I understand that. Like, I think he's too good to me. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of, his athleticism, his ability to finish, he's written out. Yeah, he lacks some physicality and strength, and he's young kid. I get that. But, like, he moves so fluidly at his size, and I feel like every time he puts the ball on the floor, he can get past the guy. Now, his strength is one thing, but he's a very good finisher. I just feel like he could be a little bit more aggressive to maybe try to find some offense. I know that's easier said than done.
For sure.
Do you see anything with Johnny in just these last few games? And I know it's kind of because, I mean, obviously he was having some huge games when he got put in the starting lineup, and, you know, his rebounding, his scoring, and his efficiency. And then you look at some of his boxes. I know it's how defenses are playing, but just the volume isn't necessarily there right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's the main thing. Again, freshman, still figuring some things out too. But I just think he needs to understand that, you know. But I think the path that he took to get to where he's at, you know, from not starting to starting and, you know, having this role is you can take 10 shots. You can take close to 10 shots a game. And I think that gives the Jayhawks the best chance because of your elusiveness to be able to score the ball just inside, outside, your length. I mean, all those things that he has with his athleticism on the offensive end, I think that they need that, especially with not having that bench production to where you really need those five again. I feel like it was, you know, your five versus our five. You need those five guys to really be go to go and be able to stay aggressive and you know, be on that edge. And he's a freshman still trying to figure some things out. But I think that's one of the things that he's going to have to learn, and he will learn over time. You know, sometimes as a freshman, you're still trying to, you know, figure out your role, and he kind of got into his role a little bit different. But he needs to understand that he's put in that role for a reason. And it's good to be aggressive. It helps the others when he's that aggressive. It helps the defense to eye in on him a little bit more, take him a little bit more seriously. And he's a good enough player to be able to find the open pass and find the open man out of that, which leads to easier buckets. So I think the biggest thing with Furphy is just he needs to stay aggressive, because when he's aggressive, it's a lot better for him.
We'll take a quick break, but before we do, we wanted to tell you about Home Field Apparel. Home Field is committed to creating incredibly comfortable, officially licensed apparel with vintage college designs. Home Field has a growing collection of over 150 plus colleges to choose from, including your favorite team's unique logos, mascots, and iconic moments to create thoughtfully designed apparel. Shop your latest team's apparel. Head to homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code KCSN23 for 15% off your first order.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Border War Podcast here on the Kansas City Sports Network. I'm Jared Sutton. I'm joined by Jeff Hawkins. And Jeff, I wanted to kind of touch one more on Baylor, the Baylor loss, and that was the rebounding. Typically, you do not see Kansas get out-rebounded in a game, and they were out-rebounded by Baylor by about 8. It was sort of by committee from Baylor. Kansas only 23 rebounds. Now, Kansas continued to win the paint discrepancy. They were plus 10 points in the paint. Typically, you see Kansas dominate in those areas. Like, that's really their identity. But I'm just curious, I think this is a big topic. We hit it on the BYU game. Kansas made four threes in the Baylor game, and they only shot 13 total threes. Now, Baylor only shot 17, too, sort of how the game went with defenses. In the modern-day game, and I understand like Kansas' identity with Hunter and KJ and how good they are around the rim, do you like worry about that at all in terms of like being able to like withstand in March if you can't make three-point shots? Like, to me, that is the one thing. And they're capable. Kevin's capable. Johnny's capable. They're capable. I think sometimes just the volume isn't there. You know what I mean? Or if a couple guys, we just talked about with Johnny and Kevin was 0-for-5 from three. It's his first game back. You're not expecting, you know, especially with his knee situation. Marco did hit a couple threes. He's the only guy that hit. He hit two threes in the game. Is there any concern in terms of that? Just the 3-point shooting volume, making threes, and just knowing you kind of have to do that to beat some teams in March.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they have to fully rely on the three ball, but I do think with some of the guys that they have that can shoot the three, they need to shoot the three. And really, I mean, I guess the question is who really is it, you know? And I think Timberlake, which had a really good game last game, but still talking about this Baylor game, you know, he only shot, one and didn't play as much, 7 minutes. But they got to have some guys that, can stretch, I think, that D. I think that is KU basketball that has, been in the past, inside-outside game more than just inside game. So, having guys that can stretch the D, I think, does help in March play. Because it just keeps teams fully honest. And when they don't have to be fully honest, whether because you're not hitting shots or you're not taking the shots, you can keep them a little bit more honest. Even if you're taking the shots, they still have to decide if they're going to guard you seriously, which can lead to a lot of things, out of control closeouts, bad rotations. A lot of things can happen from that. But if you're not taking those shots, you don't give yourself that opportunity. So, to a certain degree, yes, Jared, I do agree. It could play a factor in March if they're not taking those shots because they are shooters and they can make those shots. I think it could maybe play against them because they're not maybe giving themselves that chance to see how hot or where their game could really go. But if they have that inside presence and they're getting stops, that could be a whole different ball game. But I think you want to try to give yourself as much leeway to give yourself the right tools to win the game.
Yeah, I look at it too. Like, they don't have to be making 15, 16 threes in the game or anything like that. It's just making a few more and shooting a few more to keep a defense honest so they can open up, that lane and that paint, especially DeJuan's type of game. Yeah. And I know that, I think Hunter can make threes, and I know he's kind of had a struggle from three in terms of, I thought he shot it well at in non-conference play. I know league play can be different. You're in the family. It's a little bit different in terms of matchups and those type of things. I also think the wear and tear of a season and then the amount of minutes that a lot of starters have played can be a little bit of a factor too. But that's the thing I'm most curious about because they're capable. It has nothing to do with them not being capable to make throws. They are. They definitely know what their bread and butter is, and that's getting to the paint, getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line, working their offense to where they can try to get easy ones around the rim. But you mentioned Nick Timberlake, and that transitions us to the Kansas State win for Kansas, where I thought they put a lot of things together, played really well, played with a ton of energy. Their defense was excellent. Really thought that the 9 steals, very active with their hands on defense. It's great to see Kevin play well. And kind of look like Kevin McCullough, hit a couple threes, got to the free throw line 7 times. What a night for Hunter Dickinson on the glass, 20 rebounds, 14 defensive, very, very impactful. And then KJ with a great night, was 16 points and 5 rebounds, got to the free throw line, went perfect at the line. That's always a great thing for KJ when he converts free throws. And look at the box score and the balance that Kansas had. Just made 1 made 3 in the first half, hit five in the second half. And you looked at their efficiency went up by 10% from the field. To me, I think that was a little bit of the 3-point shooting, a little bit of stretching that out a little bit. But got to the free throw line 31 times, converting 28 of those. So it was a big part of the game, attacking, being aggressive, being physical. And then, you know, you look at Kansas points in the paint, they win points in the paint again, and got good production from their bench with 29 points from the bench. So really a great night, I think, for Kansas. Just things you want to see, maybe some trends you want to see. Nick Timberlake, for one, was great. And then Johnny Furphy, you know, 30 minutes, again, 2 of 3 before 4 at the line, was also in attack mode as well.
Yeah, and, you know, that's typically what, you know, you want to expect out of a senior night playing an in-state rival as well, too, with K-State. You know, those guys being geeked up and ready. You know, maybe that's the formula, you know, these guys need. They just need to stay geeked up and ready. Because judging the kind of seeing how they've been, you know, shooting the three ball, they like to stay under 15. You know, they like to stay under 15 threes. So if they're not going to get those threes, and if they're hitting those threes, it's changing the game. And, you know, when you can see guys like Nick Timberlake Timberlake hit those threes, it gives them that needed edge, you know, especially for bench production. You know, he got to start that game for senior night. But if he can come off with that same type of mindset coming off of the bench and just be able to go 1 for 2, 2 for 3, 1 for 4, heck, you know, I mean, still, you know, stretching that D, because when you hit one, they still have to play you differently, no matter when you have the ball, because you might not shoot it. You might attack again, a control closeout. But just be able to stretch the D, that just opens so much. And, you know, you got to like what Hunter did in that game as well, too. You know, 15 and 20. When guys are having those balanced games, it just makes the game flow so much easier. You know, they had four guys in double figures pushing six guys in double figures. So when you play like that, the ball's moving, it's not sticking, and, you know, you got, you're showing with your assists. Those are fun games to be a part of, and it's, you know, it's always curious to see, you know, can they make a run out of this? Can guys, you know, take that confidence and keep it moving forward?
Yep. Great night from KJ. The plus 35.
Yeah.
That's plus minus. So impactful on both ends of the floor. Yeah. So do want to preview. Kansas goes to Houston to close out, you know, their Big 12 regular season portion. Kansas put it to Houston, their first matchup in Lawrence. Was a great game for Hunter Dickinson. Johnny Furphy and Kevin McCullough were great in that game as well. They both had 17 apiece. And that was when, you know, Johnny Furphy was 6 of 7, 3 of 4 from three. And, you know, he was super efficient. Same with Kevin. So they do have Kevin back for this game. I think the thing that jumps out in that game, Houston just was not ready to play Kansas. The defense was not. I've seen Houston play a few times, and Kansas did pretty much whatever they wanted in that game in terms of ball movement. And then I really didn't think Houston did much offensively until the end of the game, when LJ Cryer kind of got hot and went off a little bit. But the difference is Jamal Shedd is playing at a really high level, like Big 12 Player of the Year level, with his ability to score the ball, create, defend. He's a strong, he reminds me of Javon Carter when Javon was at West Virginia, like just super impactful point guard. And this Houston team's no joke, and they're great. They're on building. They're undefeated at home. Anything you draw to in this matchup, it is still, I mean, I know the Big 12 regular season outright, you know, right now it's a 2-horse race with Iowa State and Houston, but there's still a lot to play. Kansas right now is projected, I believe, a 3 seed. So there's all the Houston's playing, you know, for that number one overall seed that they're trying to get. So
yeah,
there's a lot in play in this game for both these teams.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, I think the biggest thing is that these teams that are especially, you know, closer to the top of the leaderboard, they're playing for more than, you know, that leaderboard. They're playing for that momentum going into conference tournament, and then the March Madness, the NCAA tournament. So every game you play right now is it's a very impactful game. And I think this Houston-Kansas matchup is going to be a different matchup than what you've seen at home, because obviously they're switching locations to a team that's, their last loss has been to KU. This is going to be a heavyweight bout. I think KU is going to be up and ready for this game because, you know, they feel like Iowa State's are going to have a couple more people cheering for them as well in this game. But KU is going to be, I think they're going to be up for this game because to me, this is a momentum game. This is a game that can help give them momentum on the road, somewhere where they struggled. And when you play in that NCAA tournament, you are on the road. No matter if you're in your location, you're not playing at your home facility where your locker room, you know, where everything is. You can walk in there with your eyes closed and find it. You're in a new location. So I think this is going to be a fun game because it's two teams that are playing for a lot right now. Like you said, Houston's playing for the overall number one seed in the tournament, and KU's trying to figure out what can we do to get that momentum change to where we can start walking around as if we are a number one seed, that mindset. So it's a lot at stake right now. This is going to be a very fun game to watch. I'm excited because so many guys before in the matchup before, it was such a great game from the KU game, and you get to see the movement with Snead and those guys over at Houston, see what they're going to do.
Big 12 right now, 9 teams projected to get in the NCAA tournament. It's been a great league, very competitive league. And usually when you're in a really competitive league, it gets you ready, you know, for that big tournament. Big 12 tournament will be in Kansas City next week too. So we'll be back next week to break that down as there'll be a lot to play for in Kansas City as well when we talk about seeding for the NCAA tournament and what's ahead. So Jeff, always fun. Always appreciate your insight as always, man. And we'll be talking next week.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all 6 of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.